Hey guys, this is Danny Herbeck with the Musky 360 Canada edition. We finally tracked down Joe once again. He's always out and about doing Joe things, and we're going to talk about some Musky stuff and what's up and coming here for the next season and kind of let it go from there. Joe, what's going on?
Hey, what's happening, Danny? I've just been living the ice fishing life here, you know, frostbite on the face and everything's broken, you know, normal stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to say I've been out lots, but I haven't. But I mean, really hasn't been that nice of a winter. We haven't really had that many real nice warm days. It's kind of been when it does warm up, it seems to get really windy or snow and. We actually kind of have what I would call a normal winter this winter for the most part.
Yeah, it's getting a little bit more like what it used to be. You know, we've had consistently cold temps. Man, it's been a real cloudy and windy season though, but yeah, it's nice. Still don't really have the snow that you like to see, but I kind of I went on a trip up to northern Manitoba and got to actually ride snowmobile in some real deep snow, and I almost forgot what that was like.
Yeah, you know, everybody says, oh, I miss winter and I like driving my snowmobile and this and that. And I mean, I could take it or leave it, more leave it. I preferred ice guiding last winter when I drove my truck everywhere.
Yeah, that's not all bad either. I like that, but I like being able to put some miles on and man, it's a lot easier when you got some snow to ride on. We got enough now, but I was getting sick of listening to the skis slap against the ice on the snowmobile there. That was getting pretty old.
Yeah. So what, have you even been missing musky fishing or thinking about musky fishing lately? Or you just been, hard on the crappies and walleyes?
Well, it's always rattling around somewhere in my head, musky fishing, but you know, it's been, I've been kind of hitting the crappie some, and I got to go laker fishing a few days, and you know, been bouncing around on the ice. So, of course, try and think about what I got to do next. But yeah, you know, it's starting to fill the calendar up with some musky days this summer. So that's good, and my boat just last week here went down to Texas to have some warranty work done on it. So, that was kind of a reminder that, that everything breaks at all times of year, I guess.
Yeah, I know. I'm in the middle of trying to get my stuff set up here for the new boat. And, it's a challenge. It's a daily challenge to get everything lined up now, you know, with the world we live in, and it's becoming more and more frustrating is what it is. It's a challenging grind to get a new boat rigged exactly how you want it nowadays.
Yeah, you know, I was doing that for a few years, and it definitely is nice having everything under warranty and not having to worry about stuff going bad unexpectedly, I guess, or not worry as much about it. But there is something to be said about having your same boat back year after year. I mean, that's not all bad either. So,
yeah, no, we're getting into the part of winter where I actually start, you know, thinking about musky fishing. And like just the other day, I was, you know, in the fall, how you always leave all your baits in a big nasty mess and you just throw them in a box and kind of forget about them. And I was like, you know, I should go down and look at them and kind of get them all untangled and start organizing them. And it kind of got my musky juices flowing a little bit and started tinkering around with some baits and stuff in the garage and started, you know, maybe thinking about building some more bucktails and, you know, just playing around. So I thought, you know, I should give Joe a call and maybe we should talk some muskies and that'll scratch my itch a little bit and that'll, I can forget about it for a little bit here. So. That's where we're at.
Yeah, you know, it's one thing I've never really done over the winter that kind of keeps everybody in the musky mindset is like all the musky shows, and we're kind of gotten into show season now, I guess, that I think the Chicago Muskie Show is kind of the one to start it off, maybe, or I've always been working on the ice in the winter, so I've never been able to go to any of the shows, but it certainly is, if anything, not just, trying to book some more trips stuff, but just getting to meet other guides and bait makers and stuff that are in the industry. I think that's probably almost a bigger advantage to it than trying to book some trips out of the deal. It's cool to go there and just network.
Yeah. And I mean, I used to go to all of them when my dad owned Andy Myers and, get to meet all the guys and all that and see all the new baits and the new colors and all that stuff. And now, I mean, now that I'm getting old and have a boring life and married and have kids and all I do is go from hockey arena to hockey arena now that, I don't get to go to those shows as often as I used to. And I really do miss them because it really was cool to see, some of the new stuff coming out, on a yearly basis and pick everybody's brains and, just talk muskies and, you get to see a lot of guys that you don't normally, you would never see during the summer because we're all busy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But on the new side note of things, Livingston, which a company that you kind of been collaborating with a little bit, is coming out with a new bait. And, Savage, the company I'm working with, we're launching a couple new baits this spring, so that's pretty cool and exciting. That Livingston one looks pretty cool. It's called the Magnus. It's I'll let you talk about it a little bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was actually talking about swim baits quite a bit over the weekly check-ins we did last summer. I was starting to use swim baits quite a bit more. And had some good luck with them this summer. And yeah, that Magnus is something awesome. I mean, it's just a real versatile swim bait. It's not like any other swim bait that's out there right now. It's like some of the other Livingston, soft plastics. It's got a hard head on it and you can swap out the plastic on it so that you're not, wasting a perfectly good swim bait on one fish. Sometimes, one fish will get them just right and tear them up pretty bad. And it's pretty cool how the Livingston has set up the way they can swap out the plastics, especially on that Magnus. It's got kind of a through wire thing that, you slide on and then meets up with a collar that's on the hard head. And It's a sweet setup. And, I think one of the biggest advantages to it is the interchangeable weights. Like they have on some of the other, a lot of the other Livingston baits, you can swap out different weights for, working different types of cover. And, that's something that, a lot of these other swim baits, you end up with basically 10 variations of the same lure with just slightly different changes where you have to, change baits. If you're working weeds or something like that, with that Magnus, you can just swap the weights out and, run a light weight for running it over top of weeds, run a deep weight or a heavy weight on it for running it deep in the fall. And, swim baits are really versatile overall, no matter what, but with that interchangeable weight system in there, it brings it kind of to a whole new level. And it's an awesome setup. The way that collar is on the hard head, you don't even really need glue to get that soft plastic to stick on the head. But I mean, it's always good to stick a little glue on there just to be sure. But, the way that those collars are on the hard head, it kind of locks itself in place. And the way that wire kind of sticks out where you slide the soft plastic onto the wire, that gives you an option for some other bait modifications too. I sometimes like to hang a small blade off the back hook on a swim bait, and that wire coming out the bottom of it is like perfect for that. So it's something that's just another real versatile bait to add to the arsenal. And and like I said, that weight system is just deadly. So it's a really cool new bait there.
Yeah, I mean, that is one thing, you know, swim baits are nice. You can give, you know, an older guy or a younger kid a bigger bait with a bigger profile, and, you know, they can fish them, right? There's no little to no fatigue once you get it out there. And, you know, it gives guys that aren't quite as, you know, either in the game as much, a chance to throw a bigger bait and still catch a bigger type fish, right? Because, you know, a lot of times you get older guys or younger kids, they're stuck to throwing small stuff, and, you know, they're kind of out of the game sometimes when it comes to big fish, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't take a real experienced angler to huck that thing around and reel it in. You know, it's just, it's all about speed, and there's some little tweaks that you can do on the retrieve to kind of make it do something a little bit different. But yeah, swim baits, I mean, you can sail them a mile out there and just crank them back in, and you're going to find fish. So it's, you know, there's some like little nuances to kind of get figured out. When you start getting some bites, you can kind of see what you did to make that fish find it. But yeah, just a versatile lure that is great for anybody, no matter what your experience is, definitely.
Yeah. No, I'll definitely be grabbing a couple of them this year from Steven there and chucking them around. And I mean, too, with that, you know, with that hard head that they have on it, I mean, you know as well as I do, swim baits, muskies, 75% of the time headhunt them. So, almost everyone's hooked by the front hook in some way, shape, or form, right? So, it is nice having that interchangeable, the body, but I mean, most of them are going to be hitting it by the head anyway. So you're kind of covered really there, and you'll probably get a better hookup ratio too, right?
Yeah. And a lot of times when you do get a bait that is like torn up to the point where you can't really use it anymore, it's on the front of it, you know, it's on the head of the bait that gets torn bad enough to make it.
With the lead. Yeah. The lead's ripping out and the rubber's flapping in the water. Yeah. And yeah, that's a pretty cool, unique, neat idea having that hard head on there.
It's nice. It's nice. I like it.
So yeah, but no, as far as Savage goes, we got a couple new baits that we're gonna be coming out with. Raleigh and Helens is actually gonna be doing a exclusive with them this spring, so they'll be the first and only place for the first 45 days that they're gonna be available. They'll be available at Raleigh and Helens. They'll have the full lineup of all the colors and sizes and all that of those baits. One of which is a really, really cool, unique topwater. It's got that, you know, that cannonball, type style that, you know, the muskies just go crazy for. It displaces the water, sits real low. But the nice thing that we kind of did with it, besides having that profile and that nice, you know, prop in the back that, you know, throws a lot of water, it's got its own unique pitch and sound there, is we actually, well, you know it as well as I do. Every topwater that we have, it's a little bit different than the run of the mill. We can have six topwaters sitting in the boat, but that one topwater always catches fish. And it's usually got, you know, some sort of grind or click or thump, something that's just a little bit different that separates it from all the other topwaters, right? And I wanted to try and incorporate that in a topwater and make it somewhat repeatable, so you're not having to buy six topwaters to get that one that makes that nice little squeal. So what we actually did was we integrated a collar in the back of that topwater that's actually molded right in the bait. It's a brass like knuckle, and it's got another end in front of the hook that's integrated into the shaft that every time that prop spins, they're grinding on each other and making almost like a salt and pepper grinder kind of noise. And it's in a little bit of a squeal with a grind to it that, I didn't get them till late summer, and topwater season was kind of starting to dwindle down, but the fish went wild over it. So it's something that they haven't really heard, or it's just that nice, perfect, you know, pitch that they really like.
Yeah. Yeah, I find the same thing on those top waters, that, you know, like that squeal is just deadly.
Yeah, I have one old wood one that it's just the way it lines up. It's got a little bit of a screech to it, and it seems like time and time again that's the one that always ends up getting fish on it. So it, like I said, I wanted to kind of make it repeatable and, you know, so everybody could have a little piece of the pie, which once again, I'm torn as a guide, you know, having my little secrets that I like, but yet at the same time, I'm torn being, you know, part of a, you know, a lure making type deal where you want to make it for everybody, right? So it's kind of a catch 22.
Yeah. Yep. It's good to keep it under wraps for a little bit, but you gotta help the guys out that are helping you out.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly. And then, another bait that's going to be following that top water that'll be available at, once again, Raleigh and Helens as well, is we made a crankbait called the Flanker, which it's got, you know, a flat-sided crankbait kind of similar to a Jake or a Grandma profile, in two sizes, a 10-inch and a 6-inch. But the really cool and unique thing about this bait is it has an interchangeable lip. So basically, with a small Phillips screwdriver in your boat, you can take that lip out and put the other lip in it, going from a, you know, like a normal Grandma type bait that runs probably, you know, 7 to 10 feet on a cast, probably it'll be about 12 to 15 on a troll, depending on how much line. And then you can literally swap that lip out and go right to a shallow lip and be able to run that bait 2 to 3 feet down, over top of the really shallow rocks or, you know, deeper weeds if you wanted to, like that. And it's got a really, really, like on, like when you're jerking it, a really deadly, deadly side to side action. And then we actually suspended it. So when you get, I know you like the rise and the float. I'm the opposite as you. I like the suspend and the hang. So, yeah. When we get it along the boat, you know, you come into that figure eight, and I like to, you know, do a couple rips and then get that bait to turn perfectly sideways and hang. And we have that bait balanced so it'll just suspend and hang perfectly and give those fish that nice, you know, that second to grab the bait at the boat before you go into your figure eight.
So deadly. That is such a deadly setup like that.
Yeah. It's, I mean, to my knowledge, it's the only musky bait, crankbait out there with, you know, an interchangeable lip that, you know, you can literally swap it on the fly. And, you know, I threw it all summer. I banged it on rocks. I trolled it. I did everything, and it, you know, it holds up. It won't break. It's really cool. That smaller one, I would kind of, you know, compare it to like a six inch Grandma or a 6-inch Jake. And then when you change it to the shallow lip, it, I would compare it to like a crane bait almost, right? And that small one's going to be really killer early season. It's got wild action on it.
Awesome. Yeah, that's an exciting setup for sure.
And, you know, once again, same thing, you know, Savage is doing along with Livingston is, you know, trying to create a diverse bait, not just like what you mentioned earlier, a one-trick pony where you're buying one bait for one application. You're, you know, you might spend $30 on one bait and literally it does one thing. Well, you're spending $30 on this bait and it's like you're buying two or three baits in one, right? So you can fish it amongst all applications all season long, you know, and it's not, like you said, just doing one thing in particular.
Yep. Yeah, it's so nice to be able to have that in your setup is just like, you know, and not have a whole boat full of baits that you're using. That's exactly right.
Well, and too, I mean, us as musky guys, we kind of get stuck in, you know, an old school mentality of, you know, let's clip on a bucktail and fish it whether we're, you know, in 4 feet of water or fish it whether the boat's in sitting over 30 feet of water. Yeah, and I mean, it works at times. But like when you're fishing, you know, deeper water, it doesn't, a lot of times you have to get down in that next water column to get those fish to react. And, just by, you know, literally taking 5 seconds of your time to swap that out, either put another weight in or change to a, you know, a deeper running lip or something like that to get it down that extra little bit can make a big, big difference. Like I noticed it all last year, you know, how we were always, you know, struggling at times to get fish to engage a bait. 'Cause I found the fish last year hanging a little bit deeper. And once I kind of started, you know, cluing into that and running my baits deeper, getting them down that little bit more, I got a lot more response and caught a lot more fish than a lot of guys that were throwing the same old run of the mill baits and staying up in that, you know, that next echelon of the water column. And the fish just wouldn't come up and they wouldn't respond. So, but yeah, that's some couple cool things coming out, to keep your eyes open. They should be available kind of right before the start of muskie season for everybody out there. And, like once again, it'll be Raleigh and Helens has kind of been working with us pretty, and like you said, we got the exclusive. They got the exclusive for the Savage Gear stuff, and they'll have that. They'll have the exclusive for the Livingston as well. So guys that are looking to kind of get a jump on everybody, they'll be available there. So
I know it's where I go when I'm ordering stuff up. That's is usually my go-to, and it's a lot, so awesome how quick they get back to you if they need to change something on the order and stuff like that. Love it.
Yeah. But no, Joe, what else do you, what do you got planned for the summer as far as, it seems like, you know, I was actually thinking I don't know, it sounds like you have a little less snow than what we have up here. We have a lot of snow, like not an extreme amount, but more than what we've had in a couple years for sure. And I think our water level is actually going to probably be, depending on how the spring goes, we should have about normal water levels, I would say. I mean, like the other day I was out in the woods, jumped off the snowmobile, and I was up to my crotch in snow.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing. Like you were saying, it's kind of more of what would be like a classic winter, like what we're used to. And so hopefully that leads into more like a classic summer conditions, not this, you know, extremely high or extremely low water. And and yeah, we have a little bit less snow here, but you know, it's everything flows north and they got a ton of snow up north. And so, even when the thaw happens here, you know, things are going to be a little bit, slower to thaw up north, and that should kind of give the water levels around here a chance to go up before it drains out. So, yeah, that's definitely one thing about this winter is, hopefully we can, it leads into a more typical summer conditions.
Yeah. I mean, last year was, you know, good in its own ways, obviously, but, I'm kind of looking forward to a normal year, you know, let the fish kind of spawn, you know, nice and early and kind of get the season rolling versus last year. I mean, with the spring we had that just kind of drug on forever, and that limbo phase that we kind of seem to always be repeatedly getting in was annoying at times. So it would be nice to have a normal year and get kick things off right and have the fish setting up where they should be for, you know, for that opener, the end of June and stuff like that.
Yeah. We need just the water temperatures to get to where they should be for that summer temp. And last year with the high water, things never really warmed up the way we wanted them to. And so, hopefully this summer, we can get it to set up the way we need, and things are looking good as far as that goes. So we'll see what the spring has in store for us. But, there's still a lot of winter left. February is like the longest month, I think. It seemed out of the whole year, February just dragged on. It's like the, really where you start to like get the cabin fever or whatever. And even though I'm out and about most days, it's like, you know, January kind of came and went pretty quick. And I know that February is not the same in that respect. So
Well, and I mean, you know, when we are on the ice fishing quite often, February is generally the most challenging month. It seems like that's when we have, you know, the most snow load. That's when you're fighting slush, you know, and, you know, a lot of times the fishing kind of slows up a little bit in February, and you're kind of waiting for that, you know, March with the warmer days, the longer days, that sun kind of seems to have a little bit more warmth, and you get a little bit of water moving and kind of kick things off and kind of get everything reinvigorated that spring is right around the corner. And that, like you said, that February is just kind of like the dog days of summer, if you want to call it that, for the winter, right? That just like, oh man, let's just get it over and done with here.
Yeah. It's definitely kind of a little bit of my bookings ease up for the first couple, always have been, like for the first or middle of February, things kind of I start to get a few days off here and there, and then you know, then towards the end of winter things pick up again. But you know, it's just because of the fishing is kind of why that happens, I think. You know, the fishing kind of takes a little bit of a slows down a little bit, or gets a little bit more, I doesn't necessarily slow down, but gets a little more inconsistent throughout middle of February.
Yeah, a lot of shack days in February, a lot of sitting in shacks, you're not as mobile, can't bounce around as much. Yeah, I know exactly how you feel there. I try and avoid it as much as possible if I can, to be honest.
Yeah, it's, you know, I love it though. I do love getting out on the lake in the winter, and it's, I've already put like 2,000 miles on my sled this winter, so I've been out and about quite a bit, and it's been a good winter for that, I guess. I mean, it was nice, like the Portage trails were all still clear from last year and everything. I mean, it wasn't a lot of trees down, and although I do like getting the musky cup chainsaw out just to cut a few trees.
Yeah, so. I knew you were going to bring that up. Oh, man.
Yeah, that thing gets some use in the winter. I just gave her a little tune-up last night, nice and shined it up, and yep, I used that thing with pride.
I can't believe that that's probably one of the only few mechanical things with a motor that's still running that long in your life.
Yeah, don't say that. You know, I don't want to jinx it. But that thing's solid. I feel good about it. I use it to check ice more than I do to cut trees, but it gets its fair amount of wood run through it, so.
Cool. But yeah, well, we'll probably reconvene here in a little bit. Probably we'll talk here in March when things kind of get rolling and we got something new and cool and exciting to talk about. Right now, we're just kind of, I was just bored the other night sitting in the shop sorting baits and tinkering around with stuff, and kind of, like I said, I had the musky itch a little bit and was actually had to go. I went through all my reels and greased up all my reels and backed off the drags that I kept tightened down over the winter and made sure all they were all good. And I was like, you know, I should give Joe a call. We should talk a little bit about muskies here. So,
yeah, you know, next time I'm sure we'll have a few more fresh things to talk about. But I'm gonna go out and try and find some whitefish today. I got a little plan for whitefish. I think I kind of. That's one thing that, you know, we used to catch a lot of on the ice and haven't been able to find them too easily the last few years. So I'm going to go try something today and see if hopefully it works out.
All right, man. Well, good luck with that. And we'll touch base here in another few weeks and see what we have up our sleeves.
Sounds good, Danny. We'll check you.